വക്രതുണ്ട മഹാകായ സൂര്യകോടി സമപ്രഭ നിർവിഘ്നം കുരു മേ ദേവ സർവകാര്യേഷു സർവദാ ശിവശക്തയുക്തോ യദി ഭവതി ശക്തഃ പ്രഭവിതും നചേദേവം ദേവോ നഖലു കുശലഃ സ്പന്ദിതുമപി അതസ്ത്വാമാരാധ്യ ഹരിഹര വിരിഞ്ചാധിഭിരപി പ്രണന്തും സ്തോതും വാ കതമകൃത പുണ്യഃ പ്രഭവതി.
Om Shri Sai Ram. My most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning. Greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and with me Team Radio Sai Sunil welcoming you to this morning segment Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthi Nilayam. Today is the 14th of November 2019, and let me first read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. On the happy occasion of Children's Day in India, what is Bhagwan's expectation of every child of this sacred land? Bhagwan lovingly reminds us today, and I quote, "Embodiments of love, Bharat is the center of truth, righteousness and morality, of merit, penance and sacrifice or tyaga, and is endowed with the wealth of spirituality and bliss. It is your great good fortune to have been born in this sacred land. Dear children, you must all live up to the reputation of Muddu Biddalu, or dear children of your motherland. Do not become Muddu Biddalu, or foolish children, or Chedda Biddalu, meaning bad children. Your motherland will be proud of you only when you become noble and ideal. You must resolve to foster spiritual values and the spirit of sacrifice. Consider service as your duty. Service is God. Divinity can be experienced only through service. On deep inquiry, you will know that you are in God, God is in you, and you are God. You should be able to understand and act with conviction that you are the spark of the divine." Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on January 14th, 2000. Dear listener, the time right now in our studios is 45 minutes past 9 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time. And today in Divine Glory, I have lined up for you readings from the English version of the holy book Sri Sai Satcharitra, written by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by a tryst with divinity conversation with Sri T.G. Krishnamurti, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba. First, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanti Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book, and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead, and here it is for your listening pleasure.
Amralila, Mango Miracle. Once a parcel of about 300 good mangoes was received at Shirdi. It was sent from Goa by one mamlatdar named Raleigh to Sai Baba in the name of Shama. When it was opened, all the mangoes were found to be in good condition. They were given in Shama's charge and only four were retained and placed in the pot by Baba. He said, "These four fruits are for Damu Anna. Let them lie there." This Damu Anna had three wives. According to his statement mentioned above, he had not three but two wives only. He had no issue. He consulted many astrologers and himself studied astrology to some extent and found there was a Papi planet in his horoscope and there was no prospect of any issue to him in this life. But he had great faith in Baba. When he went to Shirdi 2 hours after the mangoes arrived, Baba said, "Though other people are looking for the mangoes, they are Damu Annas. He whose they are should eat and die." Damu Anna, on hearing these words, was first shocked. But on Mahasapati explaining to him that death meant the death of the ego and to have it at Baba's feet was a blessing, Damu Anna said he could accept the fruits and eat them. But Baba said to him, "Do not eat yourself, but give them to your younger wife. This Amralila will give her 4 sons and 4 daughters. This was done, and in due course it was found Baba's words turned out true and not those of the astrologers. Baba's speech established its efficacy or greatness while he was living in the flesh. But it did the same even after his passing away. Baba said, "Believe me, though I pass away, my bones in my tomb would be speaking, moving and communicating with those who would surrender themselves wholeheartedly to me. Do not be anxious that I would be absent from you. You will hear my bones speaking and discussing your welfare. But remember me always, believe me in your heart and soul, and then you will be most benefited." Prayer. Hemad Pant closes this chapter with a prayer. O Sai Sadguru, the wish-fulfilling tree of the Bhaktas, we pray, let us never forget and lose sight of your feet. We have been troubled with the ins and outs, births and deaths in this sansar. Now free us from the cycle of births and deaths. Restrain us from the outgoing of our senses to their objects and introvert us. Bring us face to face with the Atma. As long as this outgoing tendency of the senses and the mind is not checked, there is no prospect of self-realization. Neither son, nor wife, nor friend will be of any use in the end. It is only you who will give us salvation and bliss. Destroy completely our tendency for discussions and other evil matters. Let our tongue get a passion for chanting your name. Drive out our thoughts and make us forget our bodies and do away with our egoism. Make us ever remember your name and forget all other things. Remove the restlessness of our mind and make it steady and calm. If you just clasp us, the darkness of the night of our ignorance will vanish and we shall live happily in your light. That you made us drink the nectar of your leelas and awakened us from our slumber is due to your grace and our store of merits in past births. Note, in this connection, the following extract from Damu Anna's statement mentioned above is worth knowing. Damu Anna says, "Once when I sat at his feet along with many others, I had 2 questions in my mind, and Baba gave answers to both. My first question, there are so many crowding Sai Baba. Do they all get benefit from him?" To this, Baba replied orally, "Look at the mango tree in blossom. If all the flowers become fruit, what a splendid crop it would be. But do they? Most fall off, either as flowers or as unripe fruits by wind. Very few remain." The second question was about myself. If Baba were to pass away, how hopelessly adrift I would be, and how am I to fare then? To this Baba answered, "He would be with me whenever and wherever I thought of him. That promise he had kept up before 1918 and has been keeping up after 1918. He's still with me. He's still guiding me. This was about 1910-11, when brothers separated from me and my sister died. And there was a theft and police inquiry. All these incidents made me very disturbed. When my sister died, my mind was much upset. I did not care for life and enjoyment. When I went to Baba, he pacified me with his Updesh and made me eat a feast of Puran Poli at Appa Kulkarni's house. There was a theft in my house. A 30-year-old friend of mine stole my wife's jewel box, including her auspicious nath or nose ring. I wept before Baba's photo. The next day, the man returned the jewel box and asked for pardon. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 26. Stories of Bhakt Pant, Harishchandra Pitle, Gopal Ambedkar. Preliminary. All the things that we see in the universe are nothing but a play of Maya, the creative power of the Lord. These things do not really exist. What really exists is the Absolute. Just as we mistake a rope or a garland for a serpent on account of darkness, we always see the phenomena as they outwardly appear and not the reality that underlies all visible things. It is only the Satguru who opens the eyes of our understanding and enables us to see things in their true light and not as they appear. Let us therefore worship the Satguru and pray to him to give us the true vision, which is nothing but God vision. Inner worship. Hemad Pant has given us a noble form of worship. Let us, he says, use water in the form of tears of joy to wash the Sadguru's feet. Let us smear his body with sandal paste of pure love. Let us cover his body with a cloth of true faith. Let us offer 8 lotuses in the form of our 8 sattvic emotions and fruit in the form of a concentrated mind. Let us apply to his head the bukha in the form of devotion and tie the waistband of bhakti and place our head at his feet. After decorating the Sadguru with all ornamentation this way, let us offer ourselves to him and wave chamar of devotion to ward off heat. After such blissful worship, let us pray. Turn our mind inward. Give us discrimination between the unreal and the real and non-attachment for all worldly things, and thus enable us to get self-realization. We surrender ourselves, body and soul, body consciousness and ego to you. Make our eyes yours, so that we should never feel pleasure and pain. Control our body and mind as you wish. Let our mind rest in your feet. Now, let us turn to the stories of this chapter. Bhakt Pant. Once it so happened that a devotee by name Pant, a disciple of another guru, had the good fortune of visiting Shirdi. He had no mind to go to Shirdi, but a man proposes one way and God disposes the other. He was travelling in Bombay Baroda and Central Indian Railway train, where he met many friends bound for Shirdi. They all asked him to accompany them and he could not say no. They alighted at Mumbai while Pant got down at Virar. There, he took the permission of his guru for the Shirdi trip and after arranging for the expenses, left with the party for Shirdi. They all reached the place in the morning and went to the masjid at about 11 a.m. On seeing the concourse of the devotees assembled for Baba's worship, they were all pleased. But Pant suddenly got a fit and fell senseless. They were all frightened. Still, they tried their best to revive him to his senses. With Baba's grace, after sprinkling water over his head, he regained his consciousness and sat upright as if he was just awakened from sleep. The omniscient Baba, knowing that he was a disciple of another guru, assured him and confirmed his faith in his own guru by addressing him as follows. Come what may, leave not but stick to your own bolster and ever remain steady with him. Pant at once knew the significance of this remark, and thus he was reminded of his own guru. This kindness of Baba he never forgot in his life. Harishchandra Pitale. There was a gentleman by name Harishchandra Pitale in Mumbai. He had a son who suffered from epilepsy. He tried many allopathic and Ayurvedic physicians, but there was no cure. There remained only one way of remedy, resorting to the saints. It has been stated in chapter 15 that Das Ganu, by his inimitable and splendid kirtans, spread the fame of Sai Baba in the Mumbai Presidency. Mr. Pitale heard some of these kirtans in 1910 and learnt therefrom and from the others that Baba, with his touch and mere glance, cured many incurable diseases. A desire arose in his mind to see Sai Baba. Making all preparations and taking offerings and fruit baskets, Mr. Pitale came to Shirdi with his family, wife and children. He then went to the masjid with them, prostrated before Baba, and placed his sick son at Baba's feet. No sooner Baba saw the child, an untoward thing happened. The son immediately revolved his eyes and fell down senseless. His mouth began to throw foam and his whole body began to perspire profusely. It seemed as if he breathed himself out. Seeing this, the parents became very nervous and upset. The boy used to get such fits very often, but this fit seemed to persist longer. Tears began to flow ceaselessly from the mother's eyes, and she began to wail that her condition was like that of a person who, being afraid of the robbers, ran into a house that collapsed on him, or like a cow fearing a tiger ran into the hands of a butcher, or like a traveller who, being tormented by the heat of the sun, went to take refuge under a tree that fell upon him, or even like a devout person going for worship into a temple that collapsed upon him. Then Baba comforted her, saying, "Do not wail like this. Wait a bit. Have patience. Take the boy to your lodging. He will come to his senses within half an hour." They did as directed by Baba and found his words came true. As soon as he was taken into the wada, the boy recovered, and all the Pitale family and others were very happy, and all their doubts disappeared. Then Mr. Pitale went with his wife to see Baba and prostrated himself before him very humbly and respectfully, and sat shampooing his legs and mentally thanking Baba for his kind help. Baba then smilingly said, "Have not all your thoughts, doubts and apprehensions calmed down now? Hari will protect him who has got faith and patience." Mr. Pitale was a rich and well-to-do gentleman. He distributed sweetmeats on a large scale and offered to Baba excellent fruits and pan. Mrs. Pitale was a very pious lady, simple, loving and faithful. She used to sit near the post gazing at Baba with tears of joy flowing down from her eyes. Seeing her amicable and loving nature, Baba was much pleased with her. Like gods, saints are always dependent on their devotees who surrender and worship them with their heart and soul. After passing some happy days in Baba's company, the Pitale family came to the masjid to take Baba's leave to depart. Baba gave them udi and blessings and called Mr. Pitale close by and said to him, "Bapu, I had given you ₹2 before. Now I give you ₹3. Keep these in your shrine for worship and you will be benefited." Mr. Pitale accepted these as prasad, prostrated himself again before Baba and prayed for his blessings. A thought arose in his mind that, as this was his first visit to Shirdi, he could not understand what Baba meant when he said that he had given him ₹2 before. He was curious to have this mystery solved, but Baba kept silent. When Mr. Pitale returned to Mumbai, he narrated to his old mother all that had happened at Shirdi and the mystery about Baba giving him ₹2 earlier. The mother also did not understand the mystery, but thinking seriously about this, she was reminded of an old incident which solved the mystery. She said to her son, "As you now went to Sai Baba with your son, so had your father done when he took you to Akalkot for the darshan of the Maharaj many years ago. That Maharaj was also a Siddha, perfect yogi, omniscient and gracious. Your father was devout and his worship was accepted. He then gave your father 2 rupees for being kept in the shrine and worshipped. Your father worshipped them until his death, but thereafter the worship was neglected and the rupees were lost. After some years, the memory of those 2 rupees also disappeared, and now, as you are very fortunate, the Akalkot Maharaj has appeared to you in the form of Sai Baba just to remind you of your duties and worship to ward off all dangers. Now beware henceforth, leave all doubts and bad thoughts, follow your ancestors and go on worshipping the family gods and the rupees, and take pride in the blessing of the saints. Sai Samarth has kindly revived the spirit of bhakti in you. Cultivate it to your benefit. Hearing the remarks of the mother, Mr. Pitale was very much delighted. He came to know and was convinced about the all-pervasiveness of Baba and the significance of his darshan. Thenceforward, he became very careful about his conduct. Mr. Ambedkar. Mr. Gopal Narayan Ambedkar of Pune was a devotee of Baba. He served for 10 years in the Akbari department in the Thana district and in Jabhar state, from where he had to retire. He tried to get some other job but did not succeed. He was overtaken by other calamities and his condition grew from bad to worse. He passed 7 years in this condition, visiting Shirdi every year and placing his grievance before Baba. In 1916, his plight became worse and he decided to commit suicide in Shirdi. So he came there with his wife and stayed for 2 months. One night, while sitting in a bullock cart in front of Dikshit Vada, he resolved to end his life by throwing himself into a well close by. But Baba wished to do something else. A few paces from this place, there was a hotel, and its proprietor, Mr. Sagun, a devotee of Baba, came out and accosted him thus, "Did you ever read Akalkot Maharaj's life?" Ambedkar took this book from Sagun and began to read it. Casually, or we may say providentially, he came across a story which was to this effect. During the lifetime of Akalkot Maharaj, a certain devotee suffered very much from an incurable disease, and when he could no longer endure the agony and pain, he became desperate and in order to end his miseries threw himself one night into a well. Immediately, the Maharaj came there and took him out with his own hands and advised him thus, "You must bear the fruit, good or bad, of your past actions. If it is incomplete, suicide won't help you. You have to take another birth and suffer again. So instead of killing yourself, why not suffer for some more time and finish up the fruit of your past deeds and be done with it once and for all?" Reading this appropriate and timely story, Ambedkar was much surprised and moved. Had he not got Baba's hint through the story, he would have been no more. On seeing Baba's all-pervasiveness and benevolence, his faith in him was confirmed and he became a staunch devotee. His father was a devotee of Akalkot Maharaj and Sai Baba wanted him to walk into his father's footsteps and continue his devotion to him. He then got Sai Baba's blessings and his prospects began to improve. He studied astrology and gained proficiency in it and thereby improved his lot. He was able to earn sufficient money and passed his later life in ease and comfort. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 27. Favor shown by giving Bhagavat and Vishnu Sahasranam. Dixit's Vithal Vision. Gita Rahasya, Kharpade. This chapter describes how Sai Baba favored his devotees by granting them religious books after he had touched and consecrated them for Parayan and certain other matters. Preliminary. When a man takes refuge at the feet of the Sadguru, he gets the merit of bowing to the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, and also Parabrahma. Victory be unto Sri Sai, the wish-fulfilling tree and the ocean of knowledge, who gives us self-realization. O Sai, create in us reverence for your stories. Let the readers and audience devour them with the same relish with which the chatak bird drinks the water from the clouds and becomes happy. While listening to your stories, let them and their families get all the true and pious emotions. Let their bodies perspire, let their eyes be full of tears, let their breath be steady, let their minds be composed, let their hair stand on end, let them cry, sob and quiver, let their hostilities vanish. When these things happen, that is a sign of the grace of the Guru dawning upon them. When these emotions grow in you, the Guru is most pleased and will certainly lead you on the path of self-realization. The best way, therefore, to get free from the shackles of Maya is a complete and wholehearted surrender to Baba. The Vedas cannot take you across the ocean of Maya. It is only the Sadguru who can do so and make you see the God in all creatures. Granting consecrated book. The various methods of imparting instructions followed by Baba have already been noticed in the previous chapters. In this, we shall deal with one aspect of it. It was the habit of some devotees to take to Baba some religious books of which they wanted to make a special study and to receive the same back from him after they were touched and consecrated by him. While reading such books daily, they felt that Baba was with them. Once, Kaka Mahajani came to Shirdi with a copy of Eknathi Bhagwat. Shama took this book to read in the masjid. There Baba took it from him, touched it, and turning some pages here and there, gave it back to Shama and asked him to keep it with him. When Shama said that it belonged to Kaka and had to be returned to him, Baba replied, "No, I have given it to you. You better keep it. It will be of use to you." In this way, many books were entrusted to Shama. Kaka Mahajani, after a few days, came again with another copy of the same Bhagavat and gave it in Baba's hand. Then Baba gave it back as prasad and asked him to preserve it well and assured him that it would stand him in good stead. Kaka accepted it with reverence. Shama and Vishnu Sahasranam. Shama was a very intimate devotee of Baba, and Baba wanted to favor him in a particular way by giving him a copy of Vishnu Sahasranam as prasad. This was done in the following way. Once a Ramdasi came to Shirdi and stayed there for some time. The routine he followed daily was as follows. He got up early in the morning, washed his face, bathed, and then, after wearing saffron-colored clothes and smearing himself with sacred ashes, he read the Vishnu Sahasranam, a book giving 1,000 names in praise of Vishnu and held second in importance to Bhagavad Gita. He also read the Adhyatma Ramayana with faith. He read these books very often. After some days, Baba thought of favoring and initiating Shama with Vishnu Sahasranam. He therefore called the Ramdasi to him and said to him he was suffering from intense stomach pain and unless he took Sena pods, the pain would not stop. So he should please go to the bazaar and bring the drug. The Ramdasi closed his reading and went to the bazaar. Then Baba came from his seat to Ramdasi's place of reading and took out the copy of Vishnu Sahasranam and after coming back to his seat said to Shama, "Shama, this book is very valuable and efficacious, so I present it to you. You read it. Once I suffered intensely and my heart began to palpitate and my life was in danger. At that critical moment I hugged this book to my heart and then Shama, what a relief it gave me. I thought that Allah himself had come down and saved me. So, I give this to you. Read it slowly, little by little. Read daily one name at least, and it will do you good." Shama replied that he did not want it, and that the owner, the Ramdasi, who was a bad-tempered, obstinate, and irritable fellow, would certainly pick up a quarrel with him. Besides, being a rustic himself, he could not read distinctly the Sanskrit text of the book. Shama thought that Baba wanted to set him up against the Ramdasi by this act of his, but he had no idea what Baba felt for him. Baba must have thought to tie this necklace of Vishnu Sahasranam around the neck of Shama as he was an intimate devotee, though a rustic, and thus save him from the miseries of the worldly existence. The efficacy of God's name is well known. It saves us from all sins and bad tendencies, frees us from the cycle of births and deaths. There is no easier sadhana than this. It is the best purifier of our mind. It requires no paraphernalia and no restrictions. It is so easy and so effective. This sadhana, Baba wanted Shama to practice, though he did not crave for it. So Baba forced it on him. It is also reported that long ago, Eknath Maharaj similarly forced this Vishnu Sahasranam on a poor Brahmin neighbor and thus saved him. The reading and study of this Vishnu Sahasranam is a broad open way of purifying the mind, and hence Baba thrust this on his devotee Shama.
सबका मालिक एक है नमो साई बाबा, सबका मालिक Sister Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of our series Tryst with Divinity, where we offer you narrations and conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. And today in the studios of Radio Sai, we have a very senior and distinguished member of the Sai family who has had the opportunity of serving Swami and his mission in various capacities for over 4 decades. Mr. T.G. Krishnamurti came to Bhagwan as early as 1967, and since then he has been associated with Swami's mission, starting off as a member of a Sai Samiti in Chennai in early 1970s, to later becoming the convener of the Sri Satya Sai Trust Tamil Nadu, to finally serving as the state president of the Sri Satya Sai organizations Tamil Nadu for many years in the 90s. And even now he is completely engaged only in spreading the message of his love through his talks and his selfless work. Professionally, Mr. T.G. Krishnamurti, he is lovingly called T.G.K., he is a successful industrialist based in Chennai. A warm welcome to you, sir, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram to you.
From what little I know of you and your life before you came to Swami, I heard that you were a very young, dynamic and a successful businessman, leading a high life with many friends in the political circles, in the cinema world, and people who are really there only to lead a good and high life. And driven by the political ideology of the state, you are one who didn't really believe in God or religion or spirituality or anything like that. Is that true?
Yes. That was my life during my younger days.
And so, how did this transformation happen then? What were you, and then what did you become once you came to Swami? And when did that happen?
Well, my mother tongue is Telugu, but I was born in Karnataka because we had a lot of lands were there. But I was been brought up in Chennai, and you must know Tamil Nadu was famous for its unethical ideology called Dravidian ideology, who do not believe this Vedic culture. They do not say Rama or Krishna or all the things are God. They don't say that. So they are against it. So I was brought up in that atmosphere. In fact, during our school days, in the high school days, you know, they wanted to break the idol of Ganesha. Oh. And I was one of them also who broke that idol along with them.
Oh my God.
So you can understand how ignorant I was.
Influenced, basically.
I can't say I was arrogant, but ignorant. Mm. Supreme ignorance. Then slowly, you know, in the 60s, my mother used to come to Swami in early 50s itself.
Oh.
My mother. Mm. So I never, all right, old lady is going, is giving her whatever she wanted, but I never interfered in all her affairs and all those.
And she never also asked you to come to Swami?
No. And, you know, in my college days, you see, I was a choreographer for Latin American music. Because of that, I used to tour, when I went abroad, I gave a solo performance in Hollywood and Tokyo, Monaco, like that. Hmm. So that was my sophisticated life, always with suits. And people saw me, and then one of the producers asked me to come and act in a film. I thought he was joking. I said, okay. But they literally came to my house and took me there. I acted.
So you did act in a film?
I did act in a movie in 1958.
Wow. It's a Tamil movie?
It's a Telugu movie.
Telugu movie.
Became 100 days celebration, so they gave me a shield.
Wow.
The purpose is, 1979 January, I think, Swami came to my house and saw the shield. What is this, he said. Mm. I told him, Swami, this, I acted in that movie and 100 days celebration, so they gave me this present. And what role did you play? So I kept quiet. I did not want to say what I did. Rowdy role. Rowdy role, he said. Yes, Swami, please forgive me. Those days I have supreme ignorance. Past is past. Again, Swami said, past is past. Mm. So like that, in 1966 or 67, my sadhu boy, means my co-brother, that is his wife and my wife are sisters. And I want to tell you, my wife's grandmother, paternal grandmother, went to Shirdi, lived for 45 days in
1912. So Baba was there.
1912. Shirdi Sai was there at that time.
Wow.
They lived in Shirdi for about 45 days. Mm. So from 1912 onwards, they are Shirdi Sai Baba devotees. Mm. My mother was a devotee of Satya Sai Baba. I was...
But you were not...
100% I was against these two. Mm. And then I did not want to study Hindi. Because the political ideology is such that we should not study North Indian language. So I did not study Hindi. Only my second language in college was Telugu. I'm beyond old intermediate section, not this PUC section. Then Swami was coming to Vadanthapur in 1966 and 67 to select the lands for the construction of Anantapur Mahila colleges.
Yes.
At that time, he used to stay in Damodar Rao Naidu, who was the principal of engineering college in Anantapur. He used to stay in their house. My co-brother was the DMO of Anantapur district at that time.
DMO?
District medical officer. Mm. So they went there and they invited him for their house. Swami said, agreed to come. Immediately, his wife, she telephoned to all her sisters. No, Swami is coming, Shirdi Sai now is Satya Sai, like that.
Oh, they already had a lot of faith.
Shirdi Sai, they are from the bond, before they were born, they in their family.
So they believe that Sai Baba is
because
Swami's...
She, eldest sister of the family, she said, we know that Shirdi Sai has come now in front of Satya Sai. So everybody was very enthusiastic, go. I said, you go, I'll give the car, driver, everything, go. No, you should come. I never come. I only touch my father's feet and I will not touch anybody's feet.
Oh.
This is what I told my wife. Hmm. And my father-in-law was the chairman of Union Public Service Commission in Delhi. Oh. So he is an old man at that. He requested me, sir, please come, you should come like that. So naturally we did not want to disobey the elderly person. So I said, okay, I'll come, but on condition, don't force me to do this, to do that, to touch his feet and all those things. Okay, I went to Anantapur along with my wife and children, and they're all making arrangements, fantastic arrangements for Swami for food. I was playing cricket with the boys. And my father called me, sir, Swami is coming, another 10 minutes, you should stand here. I was sweating, go and have a washed face and all that. Okay. I stand, somebody has come, the moment he goes there again, I can get back to my cricket. And then, he came, got down in the car, he looked at me, smiled at me. The moment he smiled at me, I was supposed to be very aggressive, very confident and very positive in life. My head had bent down towards his lotus feet. And he smiled and went away. Went inside the house. I was worried, why did I bend down my head? What made me to bend down is that I was supposed to be brave and I was a boxer in my college days.
Wow.
Yeah, except to study everything, I was in every field. I was a boxer. In fact, my teeth was broken here because of the boxing. And here, during when I was about to marry my wife, I had no hair here because there was a lot of toned muscles here because of the boxing.
Oh.
So I had to apply black. So that was my life in the college days, sports, number one, education, last. Those days, education was so easy. Mm. Nowadays, you people are reading 100 subjects. We are only 3 subjects, physics, chemistry, mathematics, nothing else.
Mm.
But anyway, so here, again, second time he came. Again, he came out and saw me. Again, I bent down my head. I said, something wrong with me?
It was happening just involuntarily.
I wanted to keep my head like this, but slowly it comes down. Mm. Then, my father kept saying, why don't you come and sit down here? So elderly person, we have been taught to respect elders. So I went and sat. And Swami was giving a talk on the spirituality, which I did not, but logically he was coming, see, we should help the poor. This is what we used to be, help the poor and help the needy. That's what life is meant for, like that he was telling us. Oh, he's a very good teacher. Mm. That was my calculation. On that day night, my son, a 4-year-old boy, now he is the National Service Coordinator for USA in Seattle. So that boy had fever about 100 or 102. I was feeling sleepy about 9:45, 9:50. My wife told me, Sonny has got fever. Then I told her, your brother-in-law is DMO, 100 doctors under him. Why did you tell him to bring some pediatrician, some child doctor? And he said, why are you disturbing me? I said, no, don't disturb me. This is not my job. This is your job. Next day morning, these people, they invited Swami for breakfast at 6.30, 6.45. So they were ready, get ready, Swami is coming and all. So I was forced to get up, I had my bath, I had to stand. So Swami, the moment he entered, he saw me, why did you fight yesterday with your wife? He said, why did you argue with your wife? I was wondering, how did he know that I was arguing? What are you thinking? Swami, who told you? I said, because at the time even I was hesitant to call him Swami. You can understand how ignorant I was. So then...
So you just told him, who told you? Huh? You asked Swami who told you?
Who told you? That is, of course, I was using the word Miru. Miku. Then he said, no, I was there. I was seeing you are wearing this kind of a shirt, this kind of a dhoti, and that room was, so Swami, my photo was here, this photo is there, the shelf is here, he's describing your wife was wearing this color sari, your shirt, your son was wearing this kind of a shirt. I was stunned. How could he describe the yesterday incident? Then how did you know? I was there. I was in you. I was in her. I was in the boy. I knew everything. I could not put further questions on him. I kept quiet. So they then went in. Afterwards, the lunch was arranged for Swami. Then my father-in-law and old people, so you be attended for Swami. I said, what should I do? You, whatever he says, you follow, you will get him like an attender. I said, okay. So lunch was ready. I was hungry. I wanted to have my lunch. And they said, no, unless Swami eats, you should not touch him. I said, okay. So, shall I tell Swami lunch is ready? Oh, go and tell him. I went to the Ram Swami's room. No, again, I didn't use the word Swami. Bhojam tayar ga undi. Lunch is ready. No, Bangaru, you go and, you people go and have it. I was waiting for some, from Paris, couple is coming. I'm waiting for them, he said. And then when I strolled, these people, you also wait. So after 2 minutes, a taxi came. And I went there, I said, are you from Paris? I said, yes. Okay, then we waited here. I told, they have come. Send them in. Went there. Those days only screen, no question of door for the room. Screen was there. So I was outside the screen. And Swami was seated there. For 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, nobody came.
Nobody's coming out.
Coming out. I was watching, what it is, you see, one side of, I was hungry. And something was going on inside. I wanted to see what happened. I removed the screen a little bit and saw what was going on. Swami was putting two hands on their heads and they were crying. I said, Baba, their crying means, they must have got a lot of difficulties. And Swami probably wanted to console them. Maybe... So I kept quiet and they came here and saw that a man had a ring and the lady had a big chain with a cross. When they were going, that was not there. When they came back from the room, I saw that. So naturally I knew that Swami would have given this, but I never knew that he would materialize it. Probably would have given kept somewhere for them and all those things. So lunch. And again, I belong to the atheist group, So immediately I wrote, when we were having lunch together, I have a question, I said. Look at the way in which I was behaving here. In spite of my irrational, unethical behavior, inhuman behavior, Swami was so compassionate, so lovable. Yemi Bangaru, I said, you do not know French. They do not know English. What language did you speak?
You are Swami.
In front of all. Bangaru, noti matalu vereina, atma bhasha okate kada. Whatever the language of the tongue, the language of the heart is the same, isn't it? So language of the heart, I could speak with them, I could understand what they want, they could understand what I am telling. I could not put further questions. Then, what happened? And I had a car, I had a Mercedes car at that time. My people said, you take the car, Swami, wherever you go. I said, okay. So I was driving the car in Anandapur town. And Swami used to go to various devotees. Then in the car, myself and a friend, another devotee from Anandapur, the rear seat, Swami and another devotee. So when they were talking, naturally I could hear everything. Swami was talking so much about the poor people, about the caste, no poor people, you should help the poor people. So that was our ideology also, my ideology also, help the poor people and all those things, love and all. These teachings are very good and all those. Then slowly afterwards, then time came for us to go. Swami was about to come to Puttaparthi. So I felt that I'm missing something.
Oh.
I'm missing something. Somehow there some tears came from my eyes, which I controlled. So,
this is at the end of the first visit in Anantapur.
First visit, and Swami was leaving for Puttaparthi. Everybody was giving harati and all those things. I felt, you know, as if I'm losing something. As if, you know, my heart is probably heartbroken. Something like that, you know. I was able to cry. I never cried. In my life, I never cried. Tears came. I was controlling my Vellostan Bangaru. What should he tell me, Vellostan? Ura. He said, Nura means you come. I did not say yes. I did not say no. Just like you know, standing dumbfounded and listening to him. Then slowly, when we came back. That was 1967. Myself and wife, we had discussed. See, we used to go for December 31st, New Year Eve. We used to dance together in the club. That was our way of life. We decided not to do that. And we were non-vegetarian. And in the party, they used to give alcohol. I used to accept alcohol. I said, these are all, if you go there, you must remove all these things. Otherwise, we should not go. There's no question of having one leg here and one leg there. We decided to stop all the habits. Then the ministers used to come and in my room, I have to drink and all that. That also is bad. Giving drink to somebody else is more sin than yourself taking. So I stopped all the ministers to come to my place. Then slowly, Swami used to come visit every 6 months to Chennai. Only in 1971, there was an All India conference. At that time, we were all working for Swami as a member. Burgula Ramakrishna Rao, I think he was there at that time. No, and then Raja of Venkatagiri, they are all the organizers in those days. Raja of Venkatagiri. And then I forgot his name. Muni Venkat. These are the three people. Venkatamuni. Iswara's father. These are the three people who are organizing everything. So we are all youngsters and working and all that. Because I like the social work. So that's when I got involved. And only in 1976, actually everybody knows Sundaram is opened in 19th January 1981, but not correct. It was opened in 14th April 1976, remodeled and then reopened again in 1981.
Mm.
Remodeled. So 14th April 1976, the district president of Madras City was no more at the time. And the state president was asked by Swami to recommend some names. So he gave some few names. Swami did not accept it. He did not have any other name in his mind. He suggested my name as the last resort. Immediately Swami said, Kaveram Kuduka. That is, my mother's name is Kaveram Kuduka. Means he is the son of Kaveram. Yes, Ichai. Accept. I did not know ABCD of this district president, this samiti. What is this? What is it I am supposed to do? I don't know how to talk. I said, no, they said, Swami is there to take care. And then we had only 50 samiti members, 50 sevadal men, 50 sevadal women for the entire Madras city.
Oh.
So that was ordination strength in those days, you see. Then Nagar Sankirtan, Bhajan. So we had to come at 4 o'clock for this sadhana camp. Getting at 4 o'clock for us, it was a hell. Now, of course, it became practice for us. In those days, getting up at 8 o'clock is the... So somehow or other we got up and... disciplined ourselves to come to this level. Mm. Because we started liking him, because helping the poor, that gave a lot of courage for me. Here is the place where I should stay there and all this. In 1978, he made me trust member of Tamil Nadu Trust. Mm. We had in Ooty, Dandanavanam, that school committee also, he made me the deputy convener. And Srinivasan was the convener. Like that, we started becoming close with him. In 1986, he gave certain instructions to follow. And I failed to follow. Not because of, I forgotten. And when somebody is asking you, begging you for life, you cannot say no at that time. So I helped.
But Swami had told you not to do something.
Not to help anybody.
At that time.
I could not. Somebody said, I am dying, what to do? So I naturally have to give some water. I came here, 86. I told you not to help anybody without my consent. You did it. So I will not talk to you. He said. I kept quiet. And I thought he was not serious about it. He was really serious. He did not talk to me for 4 years.
Oh.
4 years, you know, we are separation. We are so close. In 1970s, whenever Swami comes to Madras.
Almost like 20 years he was with you.
Yes.
67.
During 70s, when Swami comes to Madras, I used to take 3-4 cars and bring Swami to Chennai. But drive for Swami in the entire city.
You should always drive.
Yes, yes, sir. Again, drop him in Vrindavan. Again, come back all the 4 cars. That was I was doing like that. Now all of a sudden cut off. What to do? Then my friends told me, my senior people told me, study Bhagavat. What Bhagavat? Srimad Bhagavatam written by Vyas Muni. Okay, Sanskrit. Don't study Telugu language, as study Sanskrit. I did not know ABCD of Hindi, Vedic question of Sanskrit. So I brought this much, nearly 50 volumes, well, 12 volumes, but more than 50 books. Then all in Sanskrit language and English, of course. How to pronounce Sanskrit, we don't know. How to pronounce English, namaste, N-A-M-A-S-T-H-E, namaste, astu, A-S-T-H-U. This is how I started the learning. So then I wanted to have a teacher. The teacher came and saw, he asked me one question, Upanayanam has been done for you? No. He said, nothing, only Upanayanam people only could learn Sanskrit. So I bought a Sanskrit English dictionary book, 1,200 rupees. I started writing thesis, sloka by sloka. There are 18,000 slokas in Srimad Bhagavatam. It took 7 years for me to write. During that time, I experienced Sai is not just Sai Baba. He's God. I could feel that. I could experience Him. And as I was writing Bhagavatam, tears came from my eyes, fell on the book. I experienced that. What was I? So much of demonic life I had. I felt so bad about myself. Is it worth living after having wasted my young age for immoral things? Inhuman things. I felt so bad about it. But I started giving a talk on Srimad Bhagavatam to the one Samiti in center for 72 months, 2 classes per week. That gave, the more I talk about Bhagavatam, the more I used to experience Him. I felt that I am very, very close to Him. Only in 1990, He said to Jogarao, make Krishnamurti member of the trust again. To Jogarao told me, have you requested Swami for any post? No. I said, no. Then he said, Swami asked me to do this. I said, okay, let him. I became a member. Then when Swami came to Vrindavan, he also called me to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, he started, I Bhagavatam Sadhina Jadana Chopitalki. That's when Bhagavatam started. I always start my speech with a sloka. You people say, humble pranams of the lotus feet of our Bhagavan, that is yours. I don't say like that. I say, Swachando Pata Desaya. That's why I started with some sloka. And I used to explain the meaning of every word. Explain, and all those things. So that's how I came into the picture. In 1919, July, myself, my wife, and another friend of mine, who used to supply saris to us, and I used to give it to Swami. And we are traveling in car from Bangalore to Chennai in a van, small van. It is something like a rectangular tin box. You can understand the tin box. So from Bangalore, I was driving the car about 7 kilometers before Chikbalapur. I applied the brake. The car toppled down exactly like this, and the second, and stood on its wheel, not on the side, not on this side. And the petrol tank was full, nothing burnt. And I asked my wife to get down and see whether she had any damages. She said, no, I'm perfect. I told my friend, you come out and check up. He came out of the car, he said, I'm okay. For me, the collarbone was broken here. You see the collarbone that was broke. But I did not tell my people, but I could not lift my hand like this. And there are 2 luggages in the car. One belongs to Swami, other belongs to me. My luggage is in the road. Swami luggage was in the car intact.
You were coming to Prasanthi.
Prasanthi to give that luggage to Swami. See how everything was arranged. Then I had to lift my luggage, put it in the car, and then went slowly, about half an hour it took for me to travel 7 kilometers, because body was bent and torn. Then my people came, they took us, and they wanted to have a checkup, scan and all those things. I said, no scan, we'll get back to Madras. From there I gave a telegram to Swami. Swami, health labor, this accident happened, I could not come, I'll come after 2 or 3 weeks. So after 3 weeks I came here. When I came here, Captain O'Brien was in charge of the Satsai airport. We are very good friends. Tijika, how is your accident? How is your collarbone and all? I was stunned. Collarbone? Who knew? What collarbone? Hey, I know, man. What happened? Tell me. Then I asked him, of course, he said, tell me, who told you all this thing? They said, Swami told me. This happened on a particular day at 10:48 a.m. Swami came down at 10:49 a.m. and came out. I was there. Hey, Oberoi Rao, you know your friend, Krishnamurti, Madras. He used to call him Madras Krishnamurti. There are so many Krishnamurtis here. So Madras, I was only in Madras Krishnamurti. That Dunapodu drove the car too fast, applied the brake. I had to stop all the vehicles that are coming in front. I had all the vehicles coming in the rear. And there was a ditch on the right side and left. I had to stop the car on its wheel on the road. Dunapodu. And he went away. Ishwar Swami told me. I was, tears come from my eyes, the way in which Swami explained things, you see. I sat there. When I sat there, Swami came. Swami said, if you become a little more closer and closer, he does not talk. His eyes will talk only. He said, he'll tell like that. I said, I just told him. This is what Swami does. Then next day, Swami was leaving for Bangalore, or Whitefield, Vrindavan. Hey, you also come. I said, hey, Swami. So I came to Vrindavan. There are about the Japanese delegates, about 200, 300 delegates were there. Japanese people, devotees were there. And Swami said, hey, you must talk. No question of giving any time. Talk. So then when we came there, Bhagavatam Nilpo, that you stop your Bhagavatam, talk about your accident, he said.
Oh.
Then I explained like this. And finally I said, Swami has saved me from this, otherwise I would have been dead. Then Swami said, no, Nindi Nen Kapalede, I did not save you.
Oh.
When he said, I did not save you, Swami, if I tell them that you did not save me, these people will slipper me out when I go there. What is this, Swami? Who else can? We only depend on you, nobody else. Said, that's it, okay, that's okay, that shows your devotion, that's a different matter. I did not save you. Again, he is repeating. Do you think I will tell this? No, Swami, but we are not in a position to understand when you say, I did not save you. Then who else could have saved me? You say, I don't know, Swami. You have to tell me, Swami, you are putting me in a very, very, they will, when they go out, they will butcher me, I said. Then he said, you see, whenever you are in service activities, you are doing seva to the unknown persons. You do not know them. And when you are doing them, they said, thank you, sir. They say, you always used to say, don't thank me, Baba, thank the Lord, and you keep on going. You never took it seriously what they say. You never even heard of it. Thank the Lord, Bhagavantri Chappu, tell her, you go away. Oh, because you said wholeheartedly, not for lip movement. Wholeheartedly you said, thank the Lord, I'm only servant of the Lord, man, why are you thank? I used to give examples also. When somebody, you go to somebody's house, when you are, say, I'm thirsty, that house owner calls the servant to get the glass of water to guest. So I take the glass, to drink the water, after seeing the glass, oh, without glass I would not have taken this water. My dear glass, can I thank you? Can you say that? No, you must take the owner of the glass, owner of water. That is boss. Other is house of proprietor. Similarly here, the one is Swami. Master of the universe is Swami. He is the proprietor, he is the father. You thank him, I say, not me. I used to go, sometimes when an argument comes, why are you not accepting this? So I used to argue with them. All your good deeds, you did not want to enjoy, you gave to me. I accumulated in my heart for you. I am the custodian of the deeds of your good acts. And I knew you have to be dead. But because of your good acts, I did not want you to die, I want you to be alive. So these things automatically come to your rescue to help you. Otherwise, multiple fractures in the body means what would happen to you? No, you have to serve me. You have to serve the world. You have to be here. So that means, so what is the conclusion, Swami? Conclusion is, manchi panulu chesthe nin bhagavantudu thaniga ninnu kaapadtadu. That if you keep on doing good acts and forget the results about it, and little, you call it pavitra karma, in Sanskrit it is called niskamya karma. An action which has no reaction on the performer, according to Sanskrit. You do it. That's why I used to tell everybody, say, forget about all our past. I remember we might have so much of sins. Keep on doing seva, Swami will take. He's the custodian. He knows when to give, what to give, how to give, where to give. He knows. From that day onwards, I used to tell our people. And Swami, you know, always tests. For him, he is very easy. His favorite is to test his devotees. It's so much of tests. One day, in 1980, for third world conference, I was given in charge of the canteen. Canteen committee convener, T.J. Krishnamurti, and about 10 members of our 11 members. So they all announced, we came here for Vijayadashmi, announced, all of you come on November 11th, he said. Said, well, all right, Swami, we'll come on November 11th. So I came, went back, after 2 or 3 days, Jogaro telephoned to me. What I say, you are convener of the canteen, all your people did not get any blessings from Swami, take instruction from Swami. I said, yes sir, the Swami orders to come on November 11th, you will come. November 11th is too late, I said, how will you waste the time for you to do? You must take now itself, you must plan, hurry up. He said, so naturally he's in a fatherly figure in those days, he's always used to be number two. We feel after Swami it is over, that was our feeling, that was our concept in those days. So immediately I told all people, let's go and sit down. So we came here, the Andhra people from the committee, they came a little earlier because from Madhuram, Hyderabad, Vaisakha and all. So we came from Bangalore to Bayer. Then why did you come? Asked Swami Krishnamurti asked me to come. Why did he ask you to come? Swami, I believe we are supposed to take instructions from you. I told you come on November 11th. He said, I don't know, Swami, ask you. Okay, let him come. So he was in the veranda waiting. When I came back, sir, Swami is waiting for you, sir. What a great devotee are you. Immediately you are puffed up. Then Bhagavantam was the secretary at that time. Then we went inside. Bhagavantam closed the door. Bhagavantam, now you decide whether Krishnamurti should be here in Prasadhanam or I should be here in Prasadhanam. I was open my mouth. I did not know what to talk. Then Bhagavantam, Pundi sir, then go. Where to go? I simply came out of the interview room and our people, what sir? What Swami instruction, sir? What did Swami say? Arey, Swami told me like this. He said, sir, Swami loves you, sir. This is the answer. Arey, Bobre, not love, man. This is something punishment. No punishment. He loves you. So we said, so we coolly went away to our places. November 11th, we came back.
Everybody returned.
Everybody went back without even telling Swami. Those days we used to tell Swami without his permission, he would not have gone. So in November 11th, we came, and every committee members were in Mandir. Indul Arsha was the World Council president in those days. No question of All India president at that time. He was World Council. So he was getting a big list and all those things, and Swami gives a badge to every individual in those days. Mm-hmm. So he started giving. We were also sitting in the one row, canteen committee. So I was in the front, because supposed to be convener, you know, so leader. He did not give me any badge. He went to the next third. Oh, and I said, see, I'm not in the committee. Since he did not give you people work, I'm behind you and I'll help you everything. No, sir, you please come. Indul Arsha, what happened to your committee? Where are you doing? No, sir, I'm not a committee convener. I'm not a convener for this canteen committee. Who said? His name is here. Swami approved his name. That's all, but I did not get badge, sir. Swami did not give. Hey, that's all love, he said. And he Indul Arsha. What is it? What? One body says, love, and here you get a banging left and right. Then we went to the canteen. In those days, there was no stove gas, only firewood. We brought about 5 or 6 large loads of firewood, accumulated in a heap, like looks like a mountain. So Swami, in those days, used to visit every section, how the world conference is going to take place, how the devotees are going to be fed, and how the devotee comforts, house comforts, everything. So when they come to our canteen, I was scared that because he does not want to see me. So what I went underneath the wood, firewood, and I sat there. And all our people were explaining to him, Swami, this. Purposely Swami stayed there for about 5 minutes. I could see his lotus feet. And what is this, what is the, where did you find it, what sort of, then after so slowly I came back. Our committee members, where were you, sir? I was here only underneath. Why, sir? Why? And Swami did not know, sir. Please come, sir. This is all Swami's Leela, sir. You don't understand. Suppose if someone moved one firewood there, everything would have fallen on me. Probably I would have been smashed to death. See how Swami acts. Then after 3 or 4 days, on November 19th, we were serving canteen. And I was having fever, about 100 fever. But still I went there to serve the canteen and all those. We were the first people to bring espresso coffee machine. Those days, it was supposed to be the latest machine in those days, you know. So espresso, it makes a lot of sound. Everybody like it, with fully, you know, evaporated. So I was doing the coffee business there, giving the coffee to everybody. And when Sevadal came, Swami is calling, sir. So I ran. With 100 temperature, already heated, body is heated, and sweating, I went there. And Rupak Chankoti was there. And he was standing there. Hey, Raj, is it Krishna? Why did you call him? Oh, I thought Swami did not call me. So only Rupak Chankoti called me. I looked at him. Sir, November 22nd, you know, we are putting the Jesus of Nazareth drama in those days. Srinivas as Kaifas, Rupak as Chankoti, Rupak as Jesus actor. And here are the list of, I asked you to get the list of the item, makeup, dress and all those things I have brought, sir. Yes, they are all coming on November 21st. 22nd is your 21st, they will be here. What is the list, sir? I gave the list. Then he saw, sir, how about another three items? You didn't tell me, you only told me this. So I brought this whole, you take care of that. Pumachapravane. I said, go. He did not want to see me. You are trying to go this way. See how he mother plays his love. Then when I want to go out, hey, Undamachapra, ask him to stay there. And he took one in left hand, one vibhuti packet. But he has got fear. Give it to him, I said. So collected it and gave it to me. See, this role, why, at that time we did not understand, we were ignorant at that time. Now only you understand how much he loves for, how much he loves us. His whole life is nothing else but love and love and love. Everybody, even the most demonic character also he loves. Sinful character also he loves. For he does not know anything else but love. Then we came back, 23rd conference was over. 24 people started leaving. 25th, he started calling committee by committee and blessing everybody. Our committee was not called. Only on 27th, last day, was called. I told people, you go, because I was not a member. How can you come? Come, sir, and they forced me. So I went and sat in the near the gate. So if you asked me to get out, I could easily come out of the room. And Swami was explaining spirituality or purpose of this conference.
In the interview room.
In the interview room. Mm-hmm. Everybody was very happy. Then Swami started to give me with the part of Chinnaya from his bag. Said, I kept quiet. He said, you're not going to give it to me. Okay, but bat was not given. How could I expect this vibhuti? Then his hand came down like this. Then some few packets are there. I put my hand like this. He gave, Repo Mimal Pulustano. I will call you tomorrow. Then only I lifted my head and saw Swami in full, very close. The next day, myself and my wife, we both were called in. Swami said, Sudu Saundaryam, Saundaryam, my wife and me Saundarya. He will call Saundaryam, not Saundarya. Sudu Saundaryam, we Namat Vinala, Yoga Ramat Vinala. This is the question. We should listen to me, or should listen to Yoga Ram? And she said, what, Swami, where is Yoga Ram without you? Everybody should listen to you only. See, you know that this fellow does not know. So what did I listen? Then Swami, Hindu question, why did you come? I told you to come on 11th only, why did you come? Swami, that he told me to come immediately. You should have consulted me, you should ask me. Where are the communication? In those days, there is no communication, nothing. So I immediately said, Swami, forgive me, in the future I won't, please. Then, all these 3 weeks you suffered? No suffering, Swami. Pangs of separation, I said. Not any blood pressure, some pangs of separation. How can I live without you for those 21 days, Swami? But Bhante spoke. Then he called me, gave me lunch, he gave me one Navaratna ring for at that time. See, he consults you, consoles you, and corrects you, guides you. We never heard of Rama doing like this, Krishna doing like this in incarnations. Only Swami. We are actually seeing, experiencing Swami. One day when I was coming from Madras to Bangalore, Bangalore to by air, Bangalore to Kuppur, the same plane, one of the ministers called Anbil Dharmalingam, is a very hardcore atheist. Hardcore atheist, he is number two in the cabinet. He was also coming in the same plane.
This was in which years?
Huh?
This was in which period?
67, late 60s. And he was continuing minister for some time in the 70s only, early 70s. He is saying, where are you going? I am going to put over there. I am also coming. I said, Minister, you come for a particular purpose. There is a meeting here. You attended all that. They will stay there. Come on, I'll go. You know you are a non-vegetarian. There is no non-vegetarian food there. Okay, I'll accept. I'll take vegetarian. You cannot smoke. Okay, I don't smoke. You cannot have any alcohol and all that. No, nothing. And he sat in the car. He refused to go out of the car. Sir, please go, sir. IAS officers are there. They're all welcoming you. There's a meeting at 4 o'clock. Hey, meeting postponed. Till I tell you to note, there are no meetings. Come on, let's go. What to do? I was in dilemma. Oh, Swami asked, why did you bring this demon? What should I say? So, Rama, Samarama, Govinda. I said, I came slowly. I gave him a room. Kutubra was there. A room was given. I went to veranda. Swami came to veranda. Swami, one, Amy. They were so-and-so came, Swami. One is going to bring Swami. Ayo, I did not bring Swami. He sat in the car. He refused to go. What could I do? Sir, could say better. So you made him sit here. So he sat there. And General Mahadevan was the state president at that time. So next day he called General Mahadevan. Because he had a lot of points to discuss. Interview room. Then after 1 or 2 minutes he called me also. I went there. Ah, and your friend in principle, you call your friend also. I said, come. Then I told him, don't be, keep silent. I know. He said, that's what I know. Means I know. I made him sit near the door. So tomorrow if you want, you can always send him after from there. He sat there. Swami was seated in his throne. General Mahadevan was there at the lotus feet. I was in between this man and Mahadevan, in between to watch this man, you see. And General Mahadevan explaining, Swami, Tirunelveli, Tuticorin and Krishna Kumar, that is southernmost district our nation members are coming to Madras. I'm arranging a meeting for them. And this is the subject and all this. Swami coolly listen. See, Mahadevan, there are about, how many guests you are expecting? I'm expecting about 700 delegates. See, all these delegates in those villages are not affluent. Some may be affluent, some are not affluent. Because of Swami's organization, they will borrow money somewhere, or they will mortgage some jewels or something somewhere and come. Why should you allow them to spend money like that? Best thing is, you go there. Let all the servants be there. You go there. You talk to them. That's how you should help the poor people. You should not make the poor people suffer. This man, Anbil Dharmalinga, heard from here like a jaguar and dived and fell at Swami, feet of Swami. I was holding the shirt. I said, where this fellow would be? Swami said. Then he started removing his glasses and wiping his tears and all those things. Then after some time he came out. I said, why did he jump? I said, sir, we are not supposed to help the poor. This way, every lecture we say, help the poor. Instead of we are robbing from them, eating and everything, we never helped. Swami says coolly, calmly, quietly, he says, the 500 people need not come. We thought 500 people come means, for us it's a prestige issue. For Swami, their sufferings, he is looking after their suffering. We never bother about other men's sufferings. See, I'm 63 year old. I became 6 months old baby before him, I say. So naturally I had to touch his feet, he said. Just imagine a hardcore atheist talking this. Tears again came from my eyes again. Next day he called him inside separately. Don't smoke. If you smoke, your vocal cord will be thrown out. Cancer. He said, okay. Then afterwards he started coming by himself. To Vrindavan and all that. And Madras, whenever our function is started. All those things, you see, then after a couple of years, I went to I was serving some place, and I found out he stays there. So I went to his house to say hello to him. And his wife opened the door, and this man came and embraced me and started crying. I said, "Why are you crying? What happened? What happened?" His wife said, "He cannot speak." I said, "Why?" "His vocal cord has been removed." "Why?" "Cancer." Then he wrote a letter in Tamil. "Swami asked me not to smoke. I violated his command and I got the punishment. My vocal cord is removed. Will Swami excuse me? I beg of you, please convey this to Swami in Tamil." I took that letter. "I'll certainly convey." I came to Swami. I gave this letter to Swami. He has written like this in Tamil. I read, what did he say? I said, like this. Tilsko. Now what you can put big manchikan and chip and tilsko. Then I'm only telling you for your own good, you should know. He never said I gave punishment. Because he does not give punishment. Whatever I say, it is good for you, that you should understand. That's all the inference of that subject. See, like that, so incidents like this, how much he helps us. And again, I am telling you, in Kodaikanal, you must have seen, Swami used to bring a lot of students, about 30 students, some elders. And morning breakfast, between 6 and 6:15, breakfast should be over. So we used to be ready by 5:45, breakfast was ready, Swami comes down from the staircase, and he sat in his place. We also sat, we said Brahmarpanam. And everybody was serving. Swami, nakodu, I don't want, you all, everybody eat. So the boys did not want to eat, we also did not, he forced us, so we ate. That was on a particular Monday. So Tuesday, he had his normal quota is 2 puris. Puri is the size of an idli. That's all puri. For us, it's one gulp, it's over. For him, that 2 puris, he takes 5 minutes to eat. Then third day, Wednesday, when he was serving, put one more puri, he said. So we are all very happy. Oh, Swami is taking one more puri today. We are very happy. Then after some time, but after darshan was over, when students went, I was sitting under next to the lotus feet. I asked Swami, Monday morning you did not take any breakfast. You did not have any breakfast. Because you ate too much on Monday and Sunday night. You could not digest. Rajirnam, that is an indigestion. Or today you had one more puri. Yesterday you did not have good food. Hungry. This is all for normal human being. This is applicable. For you, this is not applicable. There must be something behind it. Why did you not take on that day? Why did you take it today extra? Please tell me, sorry. Hey, on that day, one of you, like you people, did some sinful acts. And he served me so much, but sinful act was done. Had I kept quiet, his seventh generation would have to suffer. I did not want him to suffer. So for his sake, I suffered in not eating. I was just listening. Then what happened today, Swami? Today one of you people did a very noble act, divine act, which is my act, he did it in an infinitesimal way. But quality is most important, not the quantity. Therefore, I wanted his seven generations to be prosperous. So I took one extra. Now, how to comment on this? Or how to talk about this? What is your impression or you are about Swami at that time? What is your inference? Forget your inference. Conclusion. What is your conclusion about Swami? Just imagine. Again in Ooty, we were there. On Ooty, before Kodaikanal used to be in Ooty. In Ooty, about 2:30, 3 o'clock, you know, he sleeps, he comes out only at about 4 o'clock. He came out at 2:30, 3 o'clock. I said, we'll go out. Yeah, immediately car was ready, Radhakrishna was driving the car, and Srinivasan was sitting in the front, I was in the rear seat, myself and Swami. We had to go Bangalore route, he said. So Bangalore, there is a guard section is there. Immediately after the Kodaikanal, after the Ooty, the outskirts of Ooty, there's a guard section. He said, stop the car. I wanted to walk. Immediately slippers, we always keep Swami's slippers in the car, plastic slippers. Swami's slippers, alright, you come. So there was, he stopped at the edge of the road. There is a cliff down, almost about 100 feet or 200 feet down. He started walking down. Swami, I'm also coming. Come on, I caught hold of Swami's hand. And we are walking. Swami, Mullundi, Raludundi, Badram Swami, from a reading slip, there's a stones are there, thorns are there, be careful. Nagaparadale, Nikhsusko, Nikhledi, he said, I'm okay, you do not have slippers, you care, be careful about. So we came down about nearly 100 feet probably. When I looked up, the car was not visible. Then I was wondering, where are we going? And the thorns, and I was wondering, any fox or any wild animals would have come in that forest? Or some gundas would have been there, or some snakes would have been going on the floor. I was afraid of the snakes. So I was thinking, you know, I could not have a stick also in my hand, because you will tell you, how could I take a stick without his permission? So I was watching, or you know, like watching here and there, and then Swami stood in a particular place and put his hand like this, and closed his eyes. So I thought, so he closed his eyes, so I started looking at everywhere. No snakes are, no insects are, no gulas, no man is visible, and nothing like that, nothing like that. Okay, okay, okay. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I also getting little nervous. But 3 minutes, what to do? Then Swami, I said, second time, Swami, I touched it like this. Padam, Swami. And then we started climbing again. Like this, just imagine, almost climbing a mountain. So I caught hold of Swami's hand, Swami car, we both are walking, you know. When it came to the road, car was not there. Swami car was not there. Don't worry, car is on the left side, come we'll go. So we both went there, Swami car was there. I did not open my mouth. Said, no, Srinivasan was afraid, Radhakrishna was afraid to ask. Kept quiet. Next day, there was a heavy rain in Uti. So no darshan for the devotees. So he was alone. I went there. Swami, yesterday, why would we go there? I said, see, today rain? Yes, yesterday rain. See, the day where I stood there, it was soft soil. That soft soil, because of heavy rain, it melts, it just flows down. The entire soil would block the road, and more of soil would fall on the villages there. Just imagine, with the stones and soil, everything fell on the villages, house would have been smashed, some people would be dead. I want them to live. I didn't want them to die. So I went there. What did you do, Swami? I made the soil hard. So you see, now you see nothing. You see, no, you can go and see the paper. No action, no untoward happened in Hindu. Don't tell all these things to anybody. You are a chatterbox. No one was going to tell that. He again tells us not to tell this to others. When are we? If you do one act, good act, you want to say it to 100 people. And how Swami is different. He wanted to save those people. Probably they must have done some good acts in the previous, when Swami was there. So he wanted to save them. We don't know all those reasons. But his whole life is meant for others. Not anybody else. That we should really understand. If you do not understand, you are a buffalo. Swami says, Dunapotu. We are really satisfied to be Dunapotu. So let us understand Swami. The whole life today, now, he did so much of organization. And this water project came to Madras, you know. So the DMK government, he is atheist people. So message was sent, they said, please do it. So Swami did about 250 crores has been spent, and DMK government wanted to honor Swami. There is Karan here. Karan is a poet. See, 2007 it happened. So central government ministers, railway minister, Karnataka chief minister, Andhra chief minister, Maharashtra chief minister, all came. There's a big dice and all.
Chennai citizens conclave.
Huh?
It's called the Chennai citizens conclave.
Oh, it's too big a one, you know, arranged. And then there, and Karunanidhi was the chief speaker. In Tamil, people you do not know. In Tamil, he said, Kaveri Nadi Endral Baba. Kollama Nadi Endral Adu Naandhan. Kaveri Illai Kolladam Illai. Means, Kaveri is the main river. Kolladam is the tributary river for Kaveri. If there is no Kaveri, there is no tributary river Kollam. In poetic language. What does it understand? Without him, I am not there. Instead of putting in a straightforward way, he puts it in a poetic way. Mm-hmm. Next day, after function was over, there was one more hardcore political party called DK. he came to Karan. I said, why did you go there? Why did you do all those things? Why did you praise him like this, this and that? This man said, "Say, forget about all those things. There are, how many millionaires are there in India? Big millionaires. 250 crores is nothing for them. He was born in a village called Puttaparthi. And people had faith in him. They gave money. Entire money he had utilizing for people. Did we ever ask water? We are being asking for so many things from the central government. Nothing has been done. He voluntarily came. We want to do it. We should agree. He did it. Is it not our culture to honor to such people? Forget about people who call him God. People do not, we are not concerned about it. The way in which he helped poor people, it is not our duty to expect to honor him, he said. Then that man kept quiet. In 2007 this happened. 2008 calendar, government calendar, he put Swami's photo in February, 2008 February, colorful photo, Swami's photo. Generally in state government calendars, you can only see government projects. Here, only a photo of Swami, 2008. I sent that calendar to our secretary at the time. See how good Karnataka is. Even today, his old people are for Swami. And you know, Yatha Raja Tatha Praja, when atheist became a devotee, everybody becomes a devotee. Mm. See, that was the Swami's case. See, in those days, very few people know about the Lord, very people know about Krishna, very people knew about Rama. After the death only they came to know. But here, before that, the whole, because of the communication, the whole world has come to know. Today, the world belongs to youth. We, the elders, have to be behind and help the youth to guide them, to bring them up. According to the Vyasa, in every village of the world, my name, my glory shall be sung. That is the mission of Sai youth today. We must see that every village of the world, every city, every town, Swami's name, Swami's fame shall be sung. The second, my request to the youth is, you have seen, some people have got married, some people are going to get married, some people have got son, children, some people do not have children. You should tell your children, their children to their children, their children to their children. As long as the world exists, Swami's name and fame should exist in your family, in your dynasty, in your clan. You should take that kind of a resolution today, that I'm forget about torch bearer, as long as you are a torch bearer. Afterwards, I'm not going to tell you, you should not be a torch bearer. Continue. Now, how did you know about Rama? Rama lived 6,000 years before. Krishna lived 5,700 before. How did you know? Because somebody would have told your grandparent, his grandparent, his grandparent, something. Similarly, the same way about you people should spread Swami's name and fame, not only by talking, by acting, by doing service. The whole, I'm sure one day the world is going to be Sai world. All of you who are responsible, youth is responsible. Please, my beg of you, all the youth, to work, to keep this in mind. This should be your sole purpose of your life, nothing else. If you want, I can talk to you about your experience, many things. But the conclusion is, be a child of Swami, be a servant of Swami. One day, I want to, very, very important thing. One man asked me, hey, you are, Baba has got married? He said, one asked, he's a brahmachari. No. I said, no. He's a great householder, I said. How do you say his household is not married? That's the question, man. His mother is Isuramba. And all the youth, college students, faculty members of the university are his children. All the members of the organization are his servants. And he has got a lot of assets called peace and bliss. And peace and bliss he wanted to give to all the legal heirs. He wanted to share with us. So he's got so much of properties, he's got so much of children, he's got so much of attendance. Then how do you say he's a brahmachari, he's the biggest householder, he says. Isn't it? That's how you should take it. Youth should come, Sai, that word spread all over the world. And you know, we may not be there at the time, but we can bless you. If in case we are born again, we would like to bond as your children. If in case Swami does not want to come, we want to be there. From there, we keep on blessing you.
Definitely. What you have seen of the avatar, what you have experienced of the avatar, very few people have. And definitely, from your experiences and your insights, we learn how we should conduct in our lives, how we can take Swami's mission forward.
Please.
And thank you very much, sir, for sparing your time.
I really beg of you again, all the youth members, they should see, forget about other things. Then Swami will give all obstacles for you to test you whether you are going to continue like this or not. Determination we should go.
Yes.
Swami, yes, test already.
Yes.
See, for example, one who is studying in the college regularly, for him any day, monthly test, weekly test, he's ready. Fellow who does not study, oh, Monday only, next test, so we'll wait for Monday. And the teacher wants to advance it on Friday. No, no, sir, you said only Monday, why should it? So you should not be like that. You should be ever ready, student, to serve Swami. That is my request.
Yeah. Sure, sir. Thank you very much for your time.
It's been
absolutely inspirational. And we hope we'll have you back again in the studio sometime.
Because this, you know, as I was telling you, whatever it came to my mind, I said, I never prepared anything.
Yeah.
I never prepared any speech also. So sorry.
That is why it is so interesting and so insightful. Thank you very much for your time, sir. And we hope you will come again, because we have only scratched the surface.
I am always at the service, at the disposal of Sai Youth. Yeah. Right?
Sairam, sir.
Sai Ram, dear listener, what you just heard was a Tryst with Divinity conversation with Sri T.G. Krishnamurti, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba, and in conversation with him was Radio Sai's Bishop Rushdie. Dear listener, with this we come to the end of this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashantanam. You could email us your feedback, as always, to listener@radiosai.org. You could also WhatsApp us to this number, 93 9325 8258. It's me, Sunil, signing off, offering this segment at the Divine Lotus Feet of our dear Lord Sai. At 11:30, Bishu will join you with a segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you for staying tuned, and Jai Sai Ram.
सद्गुरु ब्रह्म सनातन हे के सद्गुरु ब्रह्म सनातन हे दयागन पावन हे परम दयागन पावन हे जन्म जदुख विनाशन हे जन्म जदुख विनाशन हे कारण है जन्म जदुख विनाशन हे जगदोधारण कारण हे साई कृष्ण जनार्दन हे सनातन है